Ready for a deep dive. Today, we're talking about clouds.
Clouds.
Yeah, clouds. But we're going beyond just, looking up and seeing pretty shapes.
Right. I wait.
We're talking about the science behind them.
Okay.
We're using this fascinating training document, actually. It's from the GLOB Observer Program.
Yes.
And they use this, get this, to train students to collect cloud data for scientists. Can
Wow.
you imagine? Like, your observations as a student could help researchers understand our planet better.
It's amazing, yeah, the impact that citizen science can have.
I know, right? And that's what we're going to uncover today.
Okay.
How do these things form?
Yeah.
What are the different types? And why should we even care?
Well, I think a lot of people don't realize how much of the Earth is actually covered by clouds at any given time.
Wow.
Yeah, 70% at any given time.
70%.
That's a lot of cloud cover.
That's wild.
So yeah, they're more than just decoration up there.
But they're not just pretty decorations up there. They must be doing something important.
They are essential to regulating the Earth's temperature.
Okay, so how does that work?
Think of clouds as giant sun umbrellas, right? But also at the same time, like a cozy blanket for the planet.
Okay, now wait a minute. How can they be both?
It's all about how they interact with heat and sunlight.
Okay.
So they reflect sunlight back into space, right? That's the umbrella effect. So that cools the Earth down.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
But at the same time, the Earth is constantly releasing heat, kind of like a giant radiator.
Okay.
And clouds can trap some of that heat, preventing it from escaping into space. And that's the blanket part.
So they're like climate control for the planet. No wonder scientists are so obsessed with them.
Exactly. And that's a big part of why understanding the different types of clouds is so important.
Okay, because it's not just like one size fits all when it comes to clouds, right?
Right, exactly.
There's like a million different types of clouds, it seems like, when you look up.
It can feel that way, yeah.
Yeah, so how do we even begin to classify these things?
Well, just like you can tell people apart by their height or clothing, you can differentiate clouds based on a couple of key things:
Okay.
how high they are in the atmosphere and what they look like.
So it's like cloud gazing. Is that a real thing? You don't have to be a meteorologist to
Yeah,
do
not at
this.
all, not at all.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it.
Oh.
You can let's start with the high altitude clouds, the ones way up in the atmosphere, and these are often wispy and feathery looking,
Huh?
like brush strokes across the sky.
Oh, okay.
Those are your cirrus clouds.
Cirrus, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, and so what about like the fluffy cotton ball clouds?
Those are your cumulus clouds,
Yeah.
and they're usually found at lower altitudes.
Cumulus, yeah. I always thought those looked like I don't know, like something
They
delicious.
do. They tend to inspire a lot of imagination. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. So we've got those, and then so those are lower. What about like a medium height cloud? What would that look like?
So if you imagine like holding your fist at arm's length
Okay.
and a cloud appears roughly that size, that's probably a mid-level cloud.
Oh,
Go to
okay.
altocumulus.
Altocumulus, okay. Gotcha. What about the clouds that seem to like blanket the entire sky?
Those are your low clouds, like stratus clouds, which often just appear as like flat gray
Yeah,
sheets.
yeah, yeah.
They can be a bit dreary looking,
They can be, yeah.
but they are essential.
So, okay, so we've got our high altitude cirrus, our puffy cumulus, our mid-level altocumulus, and our flat stratus.
You got it.
Okay, got it. But like, why does it even matter if I can tell a cirrus from a cumulus? Like, is that actually useful information?
It can be.
Okay.
Yeah, different cloud types can give you clues about the weather.
Oh, okay.
Think of them as little atmospheric hints.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting. So you're saying like I can look up at the clouds, figure out what kind they are, and that'll give me some hints about what the weather's going
Yeah.
to do.
Yeah, it's like having a little weather forecasting superpower
Okay.
just by, knowing your cloud types.
I like it.
So for example, let's say you see those fluffy cumulus clouds we were talking about.
Think the cotton ball ones?
Exactly.
Okay.
But they're growing taller and taller,
Okay.
and they're maybe even starting to darken a little bit.
Uh-oh.
That could be a sign that those cumulus clouds are building towards a thunderstorm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because as they grow, they draw up more and more moisture, and
Wow.
they become these really powerful cumulonimbus clouds, which are like the giants of the thunderstorm world.
The giants. Wow, that's intense.
Yeah.
Okay, so towering, dark cumulus clouds, maybe head inside.
Maybe find some shelter.
Right, exactly. Okay, so that's one example. What about other types of clouds? What kind of weather clues can they give us?
Well, remember those kind of flat gray stratus clouds.
Yeah, the dreary ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
If you see them starting to thin out and you start to see patches of blue sky, that's usually a good sign that the weather's clearing up.
Okay, so stratus clouds breaking up, good chance to soak up some sun.
Exactly.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
This is fascinating, though. I never realized you could tell so much just from like looking at the
Yes,
clouds.
like the sky is trying to communicate with us, you know?
Right. And we can learn to understand its language.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. So we've talked about how clouds can give us clues about like day-to-day weather, right? But they also play a much bigger role when we're talking about like climate change, right?
Right, exactly. Remember we were talking about how clouds regulate the Earth's temperature.
Yeah, like that whole sun umbrella blanket analogy, that was good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as our climate changes, scientists are really interested in how those cloud patterns might change too.
Because a change in the clouds could like affect how much heat gets trapped or
Yeah,
reflected.
exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And that can have big impacts on the overall climate system.
So give me an example. Like, how could climate change affect the clouds?
Sure. So one thing that scientists are looking at is the possibility that a warmer climate might lead to more high-altitude cirrus clouds.
Okay, and those are wispy ones, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And while they can reflect some sunlight, they're also pretty good at trapping heat.
Oh, so more high clouds could actually lead to even warmer temperatures.
Potentially, yeah.
Wow, so it's like a vicious cycle
It's a
almost.
complex feedback loop
Yeah.
that scientists are still trying to fully understand.
And this is where it gets really tricky, right? Because it's not just about the type of cloud, it's about where they are on the planet too, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Location matters a lot.
Okay, so how so?
Well, think about like a rainforest, for example.
Okay.
Super humid environment, tons of water vapor rising from the trees.
Right.
That leads to a lot of cloud cover,
Okay.
which actually helps to keep rainforests relatively cool, even though they're in tropical regions.
So the clouds are like acting as natural air conditioning?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Now contrast that with a desert environment where there's very little moisture in the air.
Right, very dry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So deserts have far fewer clouds.
Which makes sense because they get so hot.
Exactly. Because
Ouch.
all those, that sunlight is just beating down on the surface.
Right.
Not a lot of reflection going on.
Wow. So how does this all connect back to climate change, these regional differences?
Well, one concern is that as global temperatures rise, we might see shifts in these regional cloud patterns.
Okay.
So if rainforests, for example, become drier and experience less cloud cover,
Oh no.
their ability to regulate temperatures could be significantly impacted.
And that would be a huge problem. Not
Exactly.
just for the rainforest, but for the whole planet, right?
Exactly. Yeah, because rainforests play a vital role in regulating the global climate.
Right.
So any changes to their cloud cover could have far-reaching effects.
Okay, so what can we do? I mean, it sounds like we need to be paying attention to these cloud patterns and how they might be changing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where citizen science comes in.
Okay.
Because every cloud observation, whether it's from, students learning about the atmosphere or just everyday people gazing at the sky,
Right.
it all adds to our understanding of these complex systems.
So you're saying my casual cloud gazing could actually be helpful to scientists?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It all contributes to this bigger picture.
I like it. It's like crowdsourcing the sky.
Exactly.
That's cool. But be honest. I mean, do our observations really make a difference when scientists have all those like fancy satellites and technology?
They absolutely do.
Okay.
Satellites are great, don't get me wrong. They give us a really broad overview,
Right.
but they can't capture everything.
Oh, okay.
And that's where ground-based observations come in,
Oh, yeah.
because they provide those crucial details that help scientists, validate their data, fill in the
So
gaps.
it's like having thousands of eyes on the ground, right? All contributing to a clearer picture.
Exactly.
That's
And
cool.
sometimes those ground observations can actually reveal something unexpected
Really?
that even the satellites might miss.
Okay, now you've got me really intrigued. Like, what kind of unexpected things are we talking about here?
Well, take contrails, for example.
Contrails. Those are the
Those white streaks you see trailing behind airplanes.
Oh
You ever
man.
wonder about those?
I've always wondered about those,
They're
yeah.
actually artificial clouds.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, artificial clouds?
They're formed by the condensation of water vapor in the plane's exhaust.
So we're creating our own clouds now.
Kind of, yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, and these contrails, they can linger in the sky for hours, sometimes even spreading out merging with other clouds.
I had no idea they like stuck around for that long. Yeah. And they could actually like merge with other clouds, so they become part of the natural cloud cover.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow. And scientists are studying these.
Oh, yeah.
What are they finding?
Well, they're still trying to fully understand how these contrails might be influencing our climate.
Okay.
Because, you know, they are essentially clouds. They're just human-made clouds.
Right, right.
And some studies suggest they could actually be contributing to a slight warming effect.
Wow. See, this is what I love about this kind of stuff. It's like you start talking about clouds and you end up talking about airplanes and climate change, and it's all connected.
It's all connected, yeah.
That's so cool. Okay, you've convinced me.
Yeah.
I am ready to, like, ditch the screens and, like, actually go outside and look at the clouds.
Get some fresh air.
Yeah, exactly.
Cloud gazing.
But where do I even start? Like, what do I do? Just, like, look up.
You know, honestly, the first step is just to start observing.
Okay.
Just go outside, look up, pay attention to what you see.
Okay.
Like, are there different types of clouds? What shapes do you notice?
Yeah.
Colors? How are they moving?
Okay, so just start paying attention.
Exactly.
Okay.
You might be surprised by what you what you notice once you start really looking.
I bet. But, okay, let's say I want to, like, take it a step further. I don't want to just observe for myself.
Mm.
I want to contribute to actual research.
Okay.
Are there resources that can, like, help guide my observations?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Remember the GLWOOV program we mentioned?
Yeah, yeah.
They actually have an app.
Oh, cool.
The GLOB Observer app.
Okay.
And it walks you through making standardized observations. So you're collecting data that scientists can actually use.
Oh, that's amazing. Right. So it's like all those students we were talking about, but, like,
right,
anyone can participate.
Exactly.
That's so cool. It's like a global network of citizen scientists all just...
all looking at the sky.
Looking up at the same sky.
Exactly.
That's amazing. And the best part is you don't have to be, like, a trained meteorologist to participate.
Yeah, anyone can do it.
So even if I, like, go outside and it's a completely clear blue sky,
yeah,
I can report that.
Yeah.
And that's helpful.
That is helpful.
Okay.
Those no clouds observations are really important.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because they give scientists a baseline to compare against.
Oh, that makes sense.
Especially as they're studying cloud patterns and how they're changing over time. So
okay,
every observation counts.
Wow. I never realized that, like, just looking up could be such a powerful tool.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, you know, we take the sky for granted every day.
We do.
But there's so much we can learn from it.
Absolutely.
Well, this entire deep dive has been so eye-opening.
I'm glad to hear that.
We've learned so much, like, about how clouds form, the different types, how they influence our weather, climate, and how we can all play a part in understanding this complex system.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cool. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Just... remember, I think every cloud observation, whether you're doing it for, you know, for a research project,
right,
or just out of your own curiosity,
yeah,
it brings us one step closer to understanding this amazing planet.
I love that. A huge thank you to you for being our guide.
It was my pleasure.
Through this fascinating world of clouds. And for everyone listening, until next time, keep your eyes on the skies.